to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center, located on East 7th Street in Joplin, where they are passionate about sharing the freedom and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Dan with this week's edition of In Him.
I'm going to read from John chapter 1. Can I read from the introduction of John chapter 1 from this translation? N.T. Wright did a translation of the New Testament. I like him a lot. He says, certainly John's first paragraph in chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, is one of the most visionary short pieces in the whole of history of Christian writing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. What does John think he's doing? Quoting these passages. He's writing a new Genesis. Someone say, I needed a fresh start. And John is revealing what it's going to look like. Are you hearing me? How many of you needed a fresh start? Anybody needed a new beginning? Have you read your Bible? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all needed a new beginning. And John's writing a new beginning in that in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word was or became flesh. So this writing, he's saying, is it's the whole book is about the world's creator and how he has come at last to remake the world. Now, I know you're thinking, but I don't see the remaking of the world in John's gospel like we do in Revelation. It always has to start with the incarnation. The Word has to become flesh, and it's a fresh Genesis. God is coming to do a fresh new work. It will be God in flesh, God with us, revealing the glory of the Father. And in so doing, he's setting in motion the beginning of a brand new way of living for every one of us. He goes on to talk about the creation of humans in the divine image is precisely the Word becoming flesh. Genesis 1, God creates man in his image. In John 1, the Word is being made flesh and will dwell among us. It's the restoration. It's the coming back to its new creation for you and me. What does that have to do with glory? Only the glory of God could be at work doing this. It is the Word of God that was there in the beginning of creation, now being revealed in glory for us to see the nature of our God. He's the God of another chance. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of I will have my sons and daughters in my family. It's Father God saying, there will be a way made. He said it in Genesis 3:15, and he's revealing it now. The glory of God is being revealed in the incarnation of the Son. The Bible goes on to say to us that John's also writing of an exodus, the leaving of sin, to come into a relationship with God that is a relationship of the glory of God revealed, not just to us like Moses on the mountain, but the glory of God in us. So that you and I can have at any moment a relationship with the God and creator of the universe. No longer going to the temple or tabernacle and taking an animal to be sacrificed, hoping that my sins will be abated for a year. The Word is being made flesh that he might remove sin forever. And that my guilt will be satisfied in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. N.T. Wright goes on to say it this way, the divine glory and the divine love turn out to be the two ways of saying the same thing. Jesus explains to his disciples what it all means and how they in turn must be people of love and unity. Say love and unity. So it's the divine love that the Lord is bringing to us. It's this divine love and divine glory. There's unity in the glory of the Lord. Are you finding disunity in your heart? You need a fresh understanding of the glory of the Lord. The divine unity and love is that divine glory being expressed in the person of Jesus. He goes on to say it this way, how the disciples must become people of love and unity. And then he goes to face the ruler of the world and bear witness to the reality of God's kingdom, the real truth and the ultimate power. And he faces the enemy and he literally pays the price on the cross. And then in his last words, when he says, it's all done or it is finished, it is the echo of finished that is declaring Genesis 2 verses 1 and 2. Creation has been rescued and new creation now begins. The cross is the end of the beginning. The tomb becoming a womb of resurrection is the beginning of the end. Did you hear me? The cross is the end of the beginning. Genesis all the way to the cross. And John, this John right here in his gospel, he's also called John the Revelator. He's revealing the dynamics of the glory of the Lord. So once again, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was close beside God. And the Word was God. In the beginning, he was close beside God. All things came into existence through him. Not one thing that existed came into existence without him. So nothing in the universe is here without God, the Word, creating it. The Bible says this, life was in him, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I like how N.T. Wright, I like how he communicates that to us in English from the Greek. Sometimes we read in the King James, it says, the darkness did not comprehend it. But the word comprehend would lend us to think that it's an intellectual encounter. But N.T. Wright wants us to see it's not about an intellectual encounter or understanding. It's simply this, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Would you like some more glory? Would you like the glory of the Lord to show up in your life? Then you need the Lord in your life. Someone said amen. I just love the way he continues to be revealed. John says, the true light which lights every human was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. How crazy is that? That the light of the world is present in the world, and people didn't recognize it. You know why? They were looking for a victory over Rome. They were looking for relief from a circumstance as opposed to reading the scriptures, looking for the Messiah. Are you hearing me? Herod feels under threat. The Parthian kingdom has magi or holy men. They have read the writings of David. They have watched the stars. And without soothsaying, but by watching creation's timepiece, they see that there is a king born in Israel. And that is not possible except for what they declared. Because princes are born to kings and queens. But they said a king is born to Israel. And they come in search of him that they might worship. Those who were not the Jews come to worship the child king. But his own people didn't recognize him because they were dealing with Herod's taxes and his craziness. And they were dealing with the Romans who were literally occupying the city. And really, it was a mess of things as far as the Jews were concerned. And when Herod says, what is this saying? They had to go get religious leaders who weren't even paying attention. Didn't see the signs themselves. But they had the memory of a verse that said the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem, the house of David. I'm asking you today to think about something. Do not be so overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, the times that we live in, economics, political, physical, family, your own trauma. Do not be so overtaken by it that we're not looking for the revelation of the glory of the Lord, and not just with us, but in us, from us. Are you with me? Glory revealed. Look at these words with me. Glory revealed. Glory with us. Glory manifested. Glorious resurrection. Glory indwelling. Glory outpouring. Glory revealed. Jesus is born. He is made flesh. He is the perfect Adam. He is with us. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." How come he says that? Because the Lord had told John, the one that you see, the Spirit descending like a dove and landing on him, he is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. John knew who Jesus was in a familiar way. It's his cousin. But when he saw the glory of the Lord come down upon him, he realized this is the Lamb of God. Glory with us. How about glory manifested? Jesus is with some disciples on the mountain, and there's the mountain of transfiguration where he's changed. The Lord allowed these disciples to see the transformation of the Son of God, the Son of Man, on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's not the Mount of Ascension. I'm talking about the moment when he was changed and the glory of God was revealed in their eyes and they saw the manifest glory of God. How about after his death, the resurrection glory? The Bible says that when the earth was shaking and the Roman guards that were there, that when the stone rolled away and it was being rolled away by someone they couldn't see until the angel revealed himself, they saw the brilliance of the resurrection. Can you imagine the brilliance of the glory of God in that moment? It knocked them out. The first slain in the spirit, heathens at that, laid there like dead men, could do nothing. It wasn't a kaboom. It wasn't a courtesy job. The glory of the Lord so overwhelmed them, like that Moses moment we talked about earlier. The glory indwelling. What is the glory indwelling? It is the literal gift of salvation. It is this amazing Holy Spirit coming to be in us in the upper room. And then the promise of the glory outpouring. For in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit. Do you not know his spirit is his glory? Upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams and your young men will see visions. I'd say today, let visions arise and let dreams come forth. And let our sons and daughters prophesy. For we've come to the day of the glory outpouring. And there's never been a time like today. And because of technology, we can see around the world what God is doing. Push on your neighbor and say, Pastor, better hurry. He's got to get to his points. Number one, I want to ask you to think about this practical function of the glory in your life. It's in your it's a revelation of your relationship with God. Our relationship with God is an expression of the glory of the Lord because of what we've talked about today. Number one, in our relationship with God, I want you to think about how your life, your personal relationship with Jesus, your personal relationship with the Father, he so loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There must be glory involved in the not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want to begin with this one. There's glory in the relationship you and I have with God. Would you just ask your neighbor, glory in the relationship you have with God? Tell them, glory in it. What does that mean, glory in it? That means get in the midst of the splendor of it. I heard you today when you were worshiping. I heard it in prayers today. I heard the glory of the Lord causing people to leak. with water coming down their face. I saw it. I heard it. Number two, the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Romans 6:4, Hebrews 1 and 3, we see the revelation of the glory of God in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that's now in you. Is there anyone here born again? So there's only two kinds of people here today. Those who are saved and those about to be saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where I set my faith today. I want you to know that there's a righteousness that comes from the glory of the Lord. The Lord, the righteousness of God imputed. And it was in Christ Jesus, and then Christ Jesus paid the price. So we are given the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. We literally are experiencing a measure of the glory of the Lord in that we are made righteous. What is made righteous? It means no longer sin conscious, but righteousness conscious. Another word, identity. If you know whose you are, then you understand you are righteous. But what about when I mess up? Get back to Him who imputes righteousness. There is an expression of the revealed glory of God. Number three, look at it with me. I want to ask you to consider this. A rest in your soul. I'm going to have to read it because someone here needs to hear this word. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Let's look at verse 28. In the Amplified, it says it this way, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest and relief and ease and refreshment and recreation." Recreation is how I want to pronounce it. "And blessed quiet for your souls." That's the glory of the Lord being revealed. "For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh or hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Lord's carrying the weight of it. When He says, "Come and take my yoke," He's saying, "Be yoked up with me." I need a helper. Jojo, come and help me real quick, would you? So hurry, because it's fun to pick on you, and I've not had to pay you for it like I had to my other boys. So, all right. So I'm going to put my arm like this. Put your arm around on top of me. Okay. So we have a lot to do, and Jesus says, "Come, be yoked with me." Jojo's going to be me and you, and I'm going to just stand in the position of Jesus. So wherever we're going, Jojo does not feel the burden of the weight. Jesus is carrying the weight. Jesus is pulling it. Jesus is taking care of this. He asked us to learn how to walk in step. So do you see how we're learning how to walk in step? Okay, now watch this. We're going to even use the same footing. Ready? Start with left. Ready? So left, right. Jesus is teaching us how to walk in step and time with Him. And He pulls the weight because He's the only one that could. Even on the cross, it marred Him to such a degree, He was literally unrecognizable. And if you and I had to carry that weight again today, we would be annihilated. So when He says there's a rest for our souls, "Come and take your rest in me," He's saying, "I got this. I'm going to carry this. But you do have to walk beside me, with me, so that you can hear me. You can hear if my heart's pounding. You can hear if my heart is excited for you or for the lost. You can hear if I'm just taking deep breaths, and you can align your breath then with mine. And exhale." There's a glory of God to be revealed in your ability to rest in Him. That's why God, love you, sunshine. That's why God gave us some amazing ministries in the earth to help us find alignment, calibration. That's why I'm so grateful for therapists and counselors and people in the mental health arena and psychiatrists and psychologists and those who understand a relationship with the Lord and have the Word of God in their heart, and they apply those truths to the bringing the soul to rest. For the soul is my mind, it's my will, it's my emotions, it's my memories, healing my traumas and my crisis, and my pain, my anxieties, bringing it to rest. Do you see that here? Let's just move on. Number four, the rejuvenation. There's a practical function of the glory of the Lord to bring rejuvenation in our bodies. Maybe you've not thought about this before, but as I was just seeking the Lord, I can tell you there is a rejuvenation for your body. In fact, this morning, I was just, you know, leaning in on the worship and worshiping the Lord, and I reached up my hand. I said, oh, look at that hand. It's getting old. And I heard the Holy Spirit on the inside said, that's not who you are. The tent's just worn, but you're young. Those age spots don't define me. Those freckles from the sun do not determine who I am. The gray is not what defines me. I am already. I am a son before the Lord. I am already living with eternity in my heart. I am born anew. One translation says, born again. Another translation says, I'm already a citizen of the kingdom and a creature of eternity. So as long as you look at the exterior, you will, with your mental capacities, start writing off the possibilities. I'm going to try to help you as the Lord is helping me. If you look at your body and say, you're getting old, what you will do is say, oh, and so I'm less of capacity for the purposes of God. Now, I know the Lord did not take stripes on his back so that I could wallow in feeling older. And what is old? Methuselah. Oh, you can't throw him up there, Pastor Dan. He was the one and only oldest. There were generations of people living within 100 or 200 years of his 900 plus years. I saw an article just this week of a documented individual who they say had lived to be over 200 years old. Now, they didn't get there because they were eating McDonald's and they've already passed away just about 50 years ago, but they have documented when they were born. And there were people who were living 100, 120, 140, 160, 170, 180, up to 200 years old. And I thought to myself, they didn't get that old by looking at how old they were and saying, I'm about to go any day now. There's a rejuvenation of the body that the Lord wants you to know you have a right to. Pastor Dan, but I'm going to have to give up this body. Yes, indeed. I look forward to a brand new body. But if I allow my body now to determine who I am, then the glory will become diminished in its purpose in my life. I am a son. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And you must live like you are a member of eternity now. And I'll get a new body, praise the Lord. But until then, this one has a right to healing because Jesus took stripes on his back. Is there anybody who's ever had a healing in your body? That's rejuvenation. Is there anybody here who woke up one morning knowing that there was a fresh step in your walk? There was just something going on. You knew the Lord was at work in your life. Listen, I don't want to tell your testimony, but I got to tell some of it. Brother David was just telling me he went to pray for his brother-in-law. He went to pray for his brother-in-law. Was it your sister then? Called him and said, he's about to go any minute, any hour, just within this hour. Go and pray for him and he'll tell you the testimony. But I want you to understand something. When the doctors say, it's done, and the nurses are just writing out the death certificate information, waiting for the doctor to sign it. Don't undercut. Don't. The next words are tongues, and so I don't know if you'd understand them. I'm trying to, are you hearing me? Do not rule out the possibility of the glory of the Lord. Because Brother Peterson had been studying what God was doing in men and women's lives in the earth, and he was seeing the miracles that are being done, and the testimony of what God has done was so strong and filling him, he just said, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. And when they normally wouldn't have let anybody else to go in there, they let him in there. And when they were, you know, all the things he would have had to have done, it was an incurable disease. Philadelphia leukemia, is that what you said? An incurable disease. But he laid his hand on him, and he allowed the glory of the Lord that's on the inside of him to be transferred into a body that was frail and dying. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he released the glory of the Lord to be manifest. Why? Because as long as there's breath in that body, and even afterwards, I see people being raised from the dead. There's an opportunity for the glory of the Lord to be seen among the people of God. I haven't even gotten to the miracle part yet, y'all. You're getting excited. He prayed. He released the glory. People were uncomfortable with how he got a hold of heaven. Or should I say how heaven got a hold of the man in the bed. Because when you and I go knowing that the glory of the Lord resides on the inside, and it's time for the unveiling of the glory through your life, you just might get a miracle and a brand new liver. You might just get body parts that you've been needing. You might just not die, but live and proclaim the glory. You might just run around a building when they said you can't do that with your one lung. Well, one lung, Sister Kathy can run. I'm just going to ask you to hear me. In that selfsame hour, the power did what it was called upon to do. Did you get a call that night or the next day? The next morning he gets a call. It's not a call to say your brother-in-law has passed. It's a call to say your brother-in-law is awake, sitting up in the bed. And 2 days later he went home from his deathbed to his own bed, alive and living, because the glory of the Lord will rejuvenate a body.
Thank you for listening to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center. Listen to this broadcast again at KNEO.org. You can also download a podcast version of today's message by searching KNEO on iTunes. Joplin Family Worship Center is located on East 7th Street in Joplin and has ministries for all ages. They invite you to join them this week for Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. Find out more at jfwc.org or facebook.com/Joplin Family Worship Center. Follow Pastor Dan on Twitter at Daniel H. Wormuth. Thank you for listening. And remember, in Him, you are free.
God's Word speaks truth. God's Word speaks life. And God's Word speaks to us today. Hi, I'm Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. Each week we explore God's Word together on In the Shadow of Your Wings, a radio broadcast on KNEO. Tune in each Saturday at 6:45 p.m. to hear the show. And if you ever miss it, you can always view the archive online at kneo.org. We also have the program available as a podcast as well, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. It's available from Sky High Podcast Network. I invite you to check out the show and learn more about our incredible God and how He cares for you. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him, and you can rest in the shadow of His wings.